Hello, it's Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. I literally just flew into the radio station with my hair on fire because it's a day and that's how I roll. I have a really juicy topic for today. And it kind of came to me just in a flash, as most things do. So today, our topic is the narcissism effect when reality gets rewritten. Ooh, doesn't that sound so professional? Before I get into my topic, though, I have to talk about some quote-unquote current events. I went to see the Bruce Springsteen movie last night, Deliver Me From Nowhere. I went with my sister. We are Bruce Springsteen people. And the movie was so good. Jeremy Allen White is spectacular. He did a really good job. There were only two scenes in the entire movie where my sister and I were kind of like, that doesn't really look like Bruce. But otherwise, it was all in on the Bruce imitation. So if you don't know about the movie is Deliver Me From Nowhere. It's based on a book about the making of the Nebraska album, which Bruce made the album in 1981 to 1982. It was kind of a passion project of his, born out of what essentially was a kind of a depressive year of really deep self-reflection. He was tortured by some personal demons, some issues with his father, and he really was clinically depressed. The Nebraska album has a special audience. It's not a Bruce album in the typical way. There were a few singles from the album, but for the most part, it was like his heart song, his inner vibration that he wanted to get out as a way to kind of exercise some of these demons. So Bruce's autobiography, Born to Run, was released, I don't know, 5 years ago, maybe six, maybe longer. I don't remember. But I had the audio version of the book on CDs that I played in my car. And it was like a six-day long date with Bruce. I would just get in the car and listen, and I didn't want to get out of the car. He read it, and it was so personal, and I just felt like I really got to know him. And there were some scenes in the movie, my sister and I talked about it afterwards, like, how do we know this story? Like, was it in the book Born to Run? And a few of the scenes in the movie, I remembered him talking about on his Broadway show that I saw twice, Springsteen on Broadway. And so the movie's really good. I mean, if you don't love Bruce, if you don't admire the artist, the poet, the preacher, the man, the deep thinker, the talent, I don't know if you're going to love this movie the way that I loved it. I am going to play one song from the Nebraska album on the show today. It's a song called Mansion on the Hill, and I remember when he played this on Broadway. It's just one of those songs that just, it gets in you and it kind of twists around in there. So that's going to be played today. And then I have a few other songs, but let's get started on our topic. I was on the phone with my daughter the other day, and I told her what my topic was going to be. And I said, you know, it's very prescient. Like, I see it everywhere in social media, and I feel like I am friends with, counterparts with so many women that are going through this right now. And it was kind of like the universal question, like, why are these two terms, narcissism and gaslighting, everywhere? Like, where did this come from? And I really think that these two words have taken over our conversations because of social media, because of therapy, because you're just having these conversations. Like, you're saying, he's such a narcissist, or she's gaslighting me. But what do these words really mean? And why do they feel so familiar to so many of us right now? These behaviors are not new. People have been manipulating, lying, and self-adoring for centuries. What's new is that we finally have language for it. Clinical, specific, validating language that helps us see what's actually happening. I was saying to my sister, what did we used to call this? Like, what did we used to call these men that did this? And she's like, assholes, manipulative liars. And now we call them narcissists or gaslighters. So, like, what is the, you know, definition? Let's start with narcissism. The word comes from the Greek myth of Narcissus, the man who fell in love with his own reflection. In psychology, narcissism exists on a spectrum. A healthy level of self-focus, normal, necessary even, but at the extreme end, when admiration becomes addiction and empathy disappears, that's when we enter the world of narcissistic personality disorder. These are people who need to be adored, but they cannot connect. They crave validation, but they never give it. They may appear confident, but underneath that shell is a fragile ego that shatters with criticism. Healthy confidence uplifts others. Narcissism competes with others. Confidence says, I'm good. Narcissism says, I'm better than you. So let's kind of drill down on that a little bit. I remember reading the Greek myth of Narcissus, and I remember the picture that accompanied the story. It was like the man kind of at the side of the creek or pond or whatever, looking down at himself, and he just fell in love with his own reflection. And I remember thinking that that was such a negative thing, like to be so self-focused. But, you know, I was a kid. I mean, I think I read it when I was like 8 or 9. But I can still see myself seeing that picture and like how it made me feel. My sister and I were talking, and we decided our father's a narcissist. Very self-focused. Needs to be adored. Craves validation, even though he pretends like he shuns it and doesn't care about it. But he always walked through the world as a very confident man, but underneath, super fragile ego, you know, couldn't really take any criticism. And so I have experience with a narcissist, and I probably could shuffle through my dating Rolodex and come up with a few men that I've been around that are narcissists. I'm married to a very confident man. He has no qualms about his own self-worth. He has no problems with walking into a room and commanding the room. He maybe, to some people, they might say, oh, he's so full of himself. But it's not in a disconnected way. It's not in an addictive way. And the counterpart to his confidence is he has deep empathy for people. So he's not a narcissist. I have a friend who is going through a divorce right now, and she is 100%, was 100% married to a narcissist. There are so many behaviors that just beat her down. And when I get to gaslighting, which is next, it's like the use of this technique is so detrimental and so damaging that you can see a strong woman become crippled by the mind tricks that are being played on her. And it's really so hard to watch. And as an outsider, you're like, are you joking? Like, how did you not see this? How did you not push back on this? You're strong. How did you not say, you know, get away from me, before it got to the point where you were without options? But it's so insidious, and it's so, like, I see, like, you know, like if you were to spill a can of oil onto a grate on the ground, how it just kind of seeps through the cracks and spreads. That's kind of how this narcissistic gaslighting behavior creeps into your very bones and makes you question everything about yourself. So that's narcissism, what it really means. Then let's talk about gaslighting. Gaslighting comes from a 1944 film called Gaslight, where a husband convinces his wife she's losing her mind. It's psychological manipulation, a pattern of making someone doubt their own memory, perception, or sanity. Common phrases include, you're imagining things, you're too sensitive, that never happened, or you're crazy. When you hear that long enough, you start to believe it. Gaslighting isolates you from your own truth. It's how emotional control works, not through force, but through confusion. You know, calling someone crazy is such a trigger. And I think when you've been in a relationship, whether that's a friendship, whether that's two women, whether that's a love relationship, whether that's a marriage, and you're constantly being told that what you perceive or what you know is not real, you start to question your own sanity, and then they go, you say something, they're like, you're crazy. That's not how it happened. That's not what I said. And you know people who are like, I got the receipts. I have the text message. I have the voicemail. I have the card you wrote me. I have the hearsay from my best friend who got it from her husband, who's your best friend. Like, I know what happened really happened, but you're telling me that I'm crazy. And you get so confused and you get so tired. You're like exhausted. It's exhausting to continually try to convince yourself that what you know to be true is really true. And, you know, I think when I was younger, you know, I probably, you know, played some games with relationships, you know, had my own agenda, didn't really care about what the other person was going through. I remember when I started dating my husband, I was so confused by his unwillingness slash inability slash lack of desire to play games. Like, I would, you know, try to, I mean, I guess manipulate. I don't know. It makes me sound terrible, but, like, you know how you just kind of like test people Like, what are their limits? What can they take? And he was just not having it. He'd be like, what are you doing? Or why are you asking me that? Or what do you think? Like, what's going on? Like, he was just so not into it. And I was like, is he that inexperienced in relationships? Or is he that mature? Like, he's just over it. Like, I don't need to play games. Like I'm serious about you. And I remember talking to one of my friends and going, he's just so not into the games. He doesn't, like, it doesn't spark a fire in him. But that's what I was used to. I was used to that kind of, you know, push me, pull you, you know, drop a little manipulation bomb and see if they'll pick it up as it detonates in their hand. He just wasn't playing those games. And I found it to be so confounding. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's what you want. That's like a testament to stability. So, narcissism. I'm better than you are. Gaslighting. You're crazy. So why is it everywhere now? Why is it everywhere? We live in the age of the selfie. Social media rewards self-promotion. We're all under pressure to brand ourselves and chase validation. At the same time, therapy has gone mainstream. We're more emotionally literate than ever. And these terms help us name experiences that used to stay buried. 50 years ago, we said you were self-centered or manipulative. Today, we say you're narcissistic or gaslighting. And naming it gives people power. I joke with my daughters all the time because I, you know, I post TikToks and I do like a Dancing with the Stars review and just weird stuff, whatever. I'm filled with self-importance. No, just kidding. I think it's funny, and I say to them, "Oh, well, you know, I gotta go post because you know I'm an influencer." And my daughter's like, "No, you're not." And I was like, "Wait, I'm not?" And she's like, "Are you serious, Mom? You're not an influencer." Yes, I know. But if you get 100 likes on a TikTok, I don't know. You seem pretty popular to me. But anyways, this whole self-promotion and, you know, try to, like, do I have a brand? You know, am I being validated? I remember when Snapchat first came out, my daughters were like, you know, they would, like, post a snap, which I don't know if you post it to a million people. And I mean, I just put stuff on my story, but, like, they would be checking, like, likes, how many likes, and or Instagram, you know, how many likes did they get? I remember my older daughter one time, she posted, like, a picture or something on Instagram, and she was, like, fanatically checking for likes, and she was like, it's been 10 minutes, and I only have 6 likes, I'm going to take the post down. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, like, it's not, no one's looking at it. Like, it's embarrassing. And I was, it made me so sad. It was like, oh my gosh, is that what we've come to? We're just like, if we don't get our instant payoff, then we're like, we start doubting ourselves and, you know, get all sad and verklempt. And I hated seeing that in my daughters, but I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And you see, you know, what's popular on social media. I mean, we're watching people get ready to go to work. We're watching people take their makeup off. We're watching people put their makeup on. We're watching people make dinner. It's like, does anyone care about this stuff? I mean, we must because we follow it. I always say things like, oh, I follow this girl who, and I hear myself and I'm like, I'm a grown woman and I'm watching some middle-aged, mid-sized mom from the Midwest put an outfit together and remind me to pre-snap my bodysuit. But I can't help it. Every day she gets dressed, I want to be there. I want to see what she's wearing. I don't know. It's a bizarre time. But the other kind of little thing that I want to say about these two, you know, things, narcissism and gaslighting, is they're not the same. And one doesn't need the other, and the other doesn't need the other. So how do we tell the difference? I mean, not every disagreement you have is gaslighting. Not every confident person is a narcissist. So how do you tell the difference? I mean, you have to ask yourself a few questions. Is the behavior occasional, or is it a pattern? Do they ever take responsibility for what they've done or said? When you express hurt to this person, do they show empathy or do they mock you? Do you walk away feeling heard or feeling crazy? If you're constantly second-guessing yourself or apologizing for things you didn't do, that's not love. That's control. So another person that I know who's kind of going through something with their partner, soon-to-be ex-partner, is just in order to keep the peace and not have an argument about something you know is not real, you apologize, even though you know you didn't do anything wrong, even though you know there is no apology deserved. You just do it to keep the peace. And this is a very slippery slope. You start doing this and you do start making yourself, you're gaslighting yourself. You start making yourself crazy just because you want peace. And there is no formula for a successful relationship that involves you apologizing for things you didn't do, for you pushing down what you know to be true. That is not a healthy relationship. That is a relationship based on control. And come talk to me. You got to get out of that. That is not healthy. And God forbid you're modeling that for your children. Gaslighting is all about power. Healing is about clarity. Once you can name what's happening, you can begin to take your power back. Here's some exercises that you can do. Write down what actually happens, the facts of what happened, not your feelings about it. What actually happened? Confide in someone outside of the situation. Set boundaries. I'm not going to argue about what I know to be true. Reconnect with your intuition, that little voice, that little feeling in your gut that says, this is real. What he is saying, what she is saying, what I am hearing is not real. I know what my gut is telling me. I know what that little voice is telling me. I know what is true. And I'm not going to defend my truth or argue about what I know to be true. There was a little story about this couple, and you know, they're whatever in this committed relationship, and one of them stepped out on the other one and had a sexual infidelity with someone else. And the truth came to light, and the person that cheated, when confronted with the truth, their first instinct was to lie. And then once it was like, okay, well, we can't lie because here's the facts and da-da-da-da-da, and it's real. The second thing was, you were never going to find out. Like, I would take that to my grave. So that's going to be your, what do we call that? The framework for your future. A lie. And the gaslighting happens when the cheater tries to convince the person that was cheated on that it was so not a big deal, that you're overreacting, you're blowing it up. It was nothing. Like, or, you know, we were on a break, or you said that you wanted, maybe we should take some time apart. I took that as an invitation to, you know, do my own thing. They have zero accountability. And yet the secret was going to be a foundational building block of a future. Like, that's some red flag shit right there, right? Am I right? So as much as we see narcissism and gaslighting portrayed in movies and on TV and in conversations and in social media. We also see that there is these behaviors reflected in politics. And I read something today, and I'm not going to be able to find it, and I almost wrote it down, and then I was like, as if I could forget that. And I've forgotten it. But it's something like the narcissist wants the power of a king and the accountability of a toddler. And we can all make our own list of politicians who we think this applies to. But I think it's pretty illustrative of what we're seeing in a lot of the way that our lawmakers are behaving today. They want the power of the king and the accountability of a toddler. Like, wow. Okay, I'm going to play my first song, Mansion on the Hill. Then I'm going to do some radio business. And then we're going to talk about some other stuff because, you know, I got stuff. Okay, I got a new phone. I got the new iPhone 17 Pro Max. Talk about yourself. I mean, this thing is enormous. It's so huge. Let's see. Cancel. How am I going to get to my music, do you think? I don't even know how to get to my music anymore. I can't even talk to you about this phone. It's so next level. But anyways, it's really heavy and I have to carry it on like a cross body strap. I mean, my husband accidentally picked up my phone last night. He's like, holy crap, this thing is heavy. I just haven't figured my way around it yet. But I think I'm going to be able to play a song, so... Let me see which chord I'm on. Okay. Stand by. This is Mansion on the Hill by Bruce Springsteen from the Nebraska album. Maybe. I don't know. I don't seem to know how to play it. If you were Danny and you were trying to figure out your music, what would you do? Would you go there? No, you wouldn't go there. Oh, I'm so sorry, people. Oh, I found it. Stop it. I think I got it. Stand by. No, I don't. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play music. That's going to be really stressful. Let me see if I'm plugged in correctly, because this is kind of a, I had to get a new connection. Let me try the other cord. Give me a second here. Don't leave me, people. I'm going to figure it out. I mean, maybe yes, maybe no, right? How come I don't see the other? Oh, wait, that's it. Is that it? Yeah, I found it. Everything's so taped up here. It gives me anxiety with all this black tape around it. Let's see. This is the connector thingamajigama. Do you guys feel like you're here with me? I wish I could show you what I'm doing, but I can't. I won't. I'm just going to throw everything down. That's how I do things at home. I just throw everything on the ground and hope for the best. Okay, let's try this one. Okay? Stand by. Okay, I'm going to try it. Get ready. Can't Can you guys hear anything? No, you can't. I don't think I'm going to be able to play music. I'm going to cry. That's going to be terrible. Because I did have some good music to play. Let's see what else. How about my underwriter reads that I'm supposed to do? What am I going to do about that? Oh, that means I'm not going to be able to play anything through my phone, and everything's on my phone. Doesn't that seem wrong? It does, doesn't it? I guess I got the wrong... I know I didn't get the wrong connector, but for some reason the connection's not working. Okay, I'm supposed to do underwriters 7 and 8, which I can tell you that 7 is community market and 8 is Shulman, North Coast. I don't know how I'm going to play them. I'm going to try to figure that out. But I'll do my other radio business, which is just me and my voice. Oh, this is not going as planned. We're going to do Cal's program promotion. We're doing Deeper Roots, A Century of America's Music. American music is woven from a rich tapestry of diverse cultural threads, reflecting centuries-old storytelling rooted in African, English, and European folklore. Join host Dave Stroud every Friday morning with replays on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. for Deeper Roots, A Century of America's Music. The two-hour show has been in the mix for over a dozen years here on KOWS, and you can bet that you'll still find surprises each and every week. Drop on into Deeper Roots Den with Dave for a deep dive into the American Songbook right here on KOWS Radio 92.5 FM in Occidental. We have a programming promotion announcement. Bluegrass from Sympathy Valley. Gospel, old time, bluegrass, and country are on the air every Monday afternoon, beginning at 6 on this down-home, on the down-home sounds of bluegrass from Sympathy Valley. Join host Mark Hogan for 2 hours of the best of the genre, including live recordings, cowboy poetry, and stories from Mark's years working, traveling, and picking. There's music in the air every Monday evening at 6 right here on KOWS 92.5 FM in Occidental. We have a current event for October 31st. It's called Thugs Halloween Dance Party. Get ready for the most electrifying night of the year at our jam-filled dance party with the Thugs. The Occidental Center for the Arts presents their annual Halloween bash on Halloween night, no less, Friday, October 31st, beginning at 7 p.m., and it's not to be missed. Dress in your most creative costume, dance under the eerie glow of our haunted house, and enjoy spine-tingling fun with thrilling surprises. Take a chance and win our best costume contest. Find out more by calling 707-874-9392 or visiting the Occidental Center for the Arts webpage, occidentalcenterforthearts.org. I'm so upset about my music and my inability to play it. I just don't know what to do about it. Tomorrow's Halloween. I don't like Halloween, okay? I don't like dressing up. I don't like having people dress up. I feel like Halloween is, like, dangerous. I think people put on costumes and they take on a persona that is maybe scarier or more cavalier or more lack of accountability, and they take chances, and I don't like it. I don't like haunted houses. I don't like scary movies. I don't like any of it. I like little kids dressed as Ninja Turtles or Baby Shark or Mickey Mouse. I don't like grown-ups dressed as Freddy Krueger or any of that stuff with a mask. I don't know. I don't like it. So tomorrow's not my night. We don't get any trick-or-treaters. No one comes to our house. It's not really that kind of a neighborhood. There's lots going on at my mother-in-law's house, so I might dip over there because I do like to see the little kids. It makes me really happy, but I don't know. There's just like an underlying theme of scariness about Halloween that I've never liked. I remember one year, my sister and I were getting ready to go Halloweening. She was probably five, so I was four, I guess. And she was dressed as a ghost. And we walked out the front door, and we had like this little small front porch, just little concrete front porch. And she walked right off the edge of the porch because she had a sheet on and she missed the stairs. And I remember I was dressed as a hobo because that's what I dressed as every year. Hobo, like a hobo, which is what we call homeless people. You know, you're just like in dirty clothes and I had paper newspaper stuffed in my pant legs and in my shirt. Like, that's how they kept warm. I don't even know how they came up with the hobo costume. But anyways, I was so scared when she fell off the porch. Like, I didn't want to go trick-or-treating. And I think as I got older, you know, obviously I lived in a house of horrors. I didn't need to have one night of the year where everyone was horrifying. Like, my life was horrifying. Every day was friggin' Halloween. Just kidding. I don't know, maybe that plays into it. Not sure. I'm going to think about that for a second. So if I can't play music, what am I going to do? Read? Sing? This is so upsetting. Okay, I did bring a book because I did find a reading that I thought was really narcissistic, gaslighting-ish. So let me grab that book real quick. I also brought my ballot with me because I have to drop my ballot off at the election headquarters when I leave here, because California has an election November. We're voting on one item, a proposition, one proposition. So this is Matthew McConaughey's book, Poems and Prayers, and the selection is on page 77. It's called Good Man. So I saw Matthew McConaughey interviewed on one of the morning shows. I really don't remember who it was that interviewed him, but he said this was his favorite reading in the entire book. So I thought, it's pretty short. I'll read it. It's called Good Man. There's a difference between a good man and a nice guy. A good man stands for certain ideals, and when those beliefs are contested, a good man is not a nice guy. So here's Matthew McConaughey's Cliff Notes. I wrote this one in the late 90s, just before I decided to stop doing the romantic comedies. People were always telling me, "Ah, man, you seem like such a nice guy." And hey, I got it. The rom-coms were entertaining and popular, and the men always ultimately acquiesced. But it reminded me of when I was a kid and the girls would say, "Oh, you're so cute." And I was just dying for one of them to say, "You're handsome." Aspiring to be just a nice guy is like short cheating yourself. You're a nice guy, but what do you stand for? A nice guy is easy to be around, but he goes along with everything. A good man is different. He has things he stands for. It's harder to be a good man. And I really like that. I don't want to be with a nice guy. I want to be with a good man. And the very next page says, I have faith in what I believe I could. I speak of what I believe I should. I do what I believe I would. Give me the faith to believe, the confidence to speak, and the courage to do. I mean, you know, like I said the last time, you either love this guy or you don't. I mean, there's really no middle ground. No one's like, I don't have any strong feelings about him. People have strong feelings about Matthew McConaughey. There are some things about him that I just find so viscerally attractive. And then sometimes I just want to go, shut up. Are you kidding me? Like, you're so full of yourself. But I don't know. It's that juxtaposition that gets us going, I guess. Can you believe I'm on the radio and I can't play music? Oh, my God. Anyways, the songs I was going to play was Mansion on the Hill by Bruce from the Nebraska album. I was going to play this song called Love in Letting Go, and it's a duet, Listen, I act like I don't know how to talk. It's a duet, you know, when two people sing. It's by Warren Zeiders and Lainey Gardner, and it's about... there's love in letting go. It's about you're in a relationship and it doesn't work out. And, you know, my mom loved you, but your mom didn't think I was good enough or whatever. And it goes on and on. And it's like, there's love in letting go. Like, we meant something to each other. Like, our relationship meant something. Let me read you some of the, I can read. It says, right time and place, but the wrong circumstances. Your heart was open, but my heart was damaged. My mom loved you, but yours wasn't sure. You knew just what you wanted, and it made me insecure. The leaving hurt us both. We were way less thorn than rose. There's love in letting go. Ain't no shame in coming close. You know it wasn't all worth nothing if we didn't end up being something. You'll never be someone I wish I didn't know. There's love in letting go. You'll never be someone I wish I didn't know. Like, that's heavy. Okay, the other song I was going to sing is... Sing. I wasn't going to sing anything. Play is the song Gaslighter by the Dixie Chicks, which are now called The Chicks. But let me just read you a few of these words. It says... Gaslighter, denier, doing anything to get your ass farther. Gaslighter, big timer, repeating all of the mistakes of your father. I believed in the promises you made to me, swore that night till death do us part, but you lied. No matter what they gave you, you still wanted more. Acting all above it when our friends divorced. What a lie. You're such a gaslighter, denier, doing anything to get your ass farther. You know, gaslighter, you broke me. You're sorry, but where's my apology? That's another thing that gaslighters do, is they cause damage and you say, that really hurt me. Wow, that was, wow. And they don't apologize because they never think they're wrong. And that's pretty indicative of... When you know something's up, you know, when you express that you're hurt and they show no empathy, they actually just mock you. I just got a text message from my sister and she said, you can't play any music. You know, how'd you play the opening of your show? Well, my theme song is pre-recorded. On the loop. So once the 1 o'clock hour hits, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go, level up, that plays automatically. So sometimes I play it, and when I play it, it like preempts the pre-recorded playing of it. So yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to really investigate this, and I don't know how to investigate it. Well, I think I do, actually. Once I'm done with the show, I can do a test so that it's not blasting over the air. But it's probably the new phone. I guarantee it's a new phone. It probably has some friggin' special thing. Like if I were to unplug the little dongle that I plugged in, it probably would give me a signal like, oh, you plugged something in. How do you want to use it? And I didn't realize that I needed to acknowledge its existence. So maybe I should go to, what do they call this, accessories? I don't know. See, I don't know anything about the phones. I'm just a person that walks around using it. I don't think about it or try to figure stuff out. I just plug and play. Where's the IT guy from Stockholm Construction? Can he dash over here to the radio station and show me what's up? Just kidding. You're listening to Level Up by Danny. Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. You know, I started this show with the concept of talking about wellness and personal wellness and personal accountability. Kind of a show where we take the everyday challenges of being human and raise the bar. And I try to do that every week. I try to do something that is interesting and maybe put a new spin on something. I don't know if I'm always successful, but most weeks I do feel proud of myself. This month of October has 5 weeks, so I'm here in the fifth week, and then I'll also be back next week because it's the first week of the month, so I'm back-to-back weeks, which is always challenging and exciting. So, you know, there's that. I kind of had like a closing, you know, reflection, if you will. Narcissism and gaslighting aren't just buzzwords. They're survival language. They help us name invisible bruises and start to heal. When someone tries to rewrite your reality, you get to write it back in your own voice, with your own truth. And that's powerful. And when I talk to these women or anyone, really, it doesn't always have to be women, although typically women are getting gaslit. I try to steer them to find their own truth, to say, this much I know is true. I'm sure about this. Not cluttering up your thought process with what you've heard or how you've been conditioned or what you've been programmed to believe, to really feel your own feelings and find your own truth and stand in the power of that truth. And if you can do that, even a little bit, you can start to see the potential for your personal healing and personal growth. And I want that for everyone. I have a lot of empathy. I'm not quite as empathetic as my husband and my older daughter. They're empaths. They feel people's feelings. They feel things deeply. They carry other people's pain. I'm a little too wooden for that. Plus, please, I'm so self-involved. Just kidding. I'm usually too bogged down with my own psychodramas going on. But, you know, I can be a supportive person. I can be there for you. I can lead you in the ways that you can reconnect with your own intuition. I can kind of help facilitate if you want to try to figure out how to get out of something. I'm a problem solver. If you got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Those are the kind of things that I feel like I'm really good at. But I want to be here for you too. I want to be a person that you can count on. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'll do my best. The last few weeks, you know, I've been on the radio, I've been sick, and I've been talking about being sick and all the different things I'm trying to do to be well. Well, last night at 11:30, I started coughing. And my husband was like, dude, I got to get up at 4:30. Like, get out of here. So I went upstairs and I coughed till 4 a.m. I coughed for 4 hours straight. Literally 4 hours straight. Not like, coughing, like racking, trying to cough something up. Anything, please, give me something to show for this cough. This morning I have like sore ribs, like my chest feels wheezy. I have like my back hurts and I'm just over it. I mean, I'm taking prednisone And it's for the inflammation in my lungs. But prednisone makes you feel terrible. And so I'm shaky and I'm anxious and I feel just my body doesn't feel like my body. I had visceral therapy yesterday and she was working on a bunch of things, but my lungs never really showed up. But one of the things I was telling her about is the castor oil that I use every night. You know, I put it in my belly button and across my stomach. Well, my second daughter was born via cesarean section, and there was a lot of messaging from my body yesterday in visceral therapy around my cesarean scar. And she was doing some manipulations, and she's like, I want you to lower, you know, like where you put the castor oil. It's almost like it needed like a lymphatic drainage almost. So, you know, I'm going to do that. I love castor oil. I just think it heals everything. It also stains everything, so don't get that twisted. All my pajamas have a little slight discoloration on the tummy from castor oil, as do some of my sheets and my comforter, but whatever. Small price to pay. I also, if you've seen me out there on the interwebs, you see that I got a new haircut. I cut all my hair off. I went platinum. I changed my eyebrow color. I'm off the rails. I don't care. It's just hair. I mean, I've never really been that into my hair, but I did show a picture to my one girlfriend of me, like when I was like, I don't know, 23. And I had some hair. I mean, this was some big hair. And I was trying to remember what it was like to do my hair. Like, did I blow it dry upside down? And then I used a curling iron and curled it all back. And then I brushed it. And then I fluffed it. And then I held it up with my fingers and sprayed it. Like, it was some hair. There was a lot going on with hair. And now I'm like, if I spend more than 6 minutes on my hair's too long. Like, I don't want to think about it. I just want to, like, scrub it a little bit in the shower, jump out, throw some product on it, and hit the road. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. My hair's really short. And, you know, it's an acquired taste, but whatever. I like it. I talked about this morning, I talked about a new mouth tape that I started using. And it, the slit, like the breathing slit on the lips is like beansy. It's like the width of a toothpick and it's like 1 inch wide. And usually my mouth tape is in the shape of an H or an I, you know, and you can put it either sideways or up and down. And like I can still kind of talk a little bit and I can still cough. But this mouth tape is so occlusive, like I couldn't even cough. And when I went upstairs after I left the bed, I had my mouth tape on and my eye mask up on top of my head. And I was thinking I'll just go upstairs and lay down, but I couldn't lay down because you can't lay down and cough. So I finally had to rip my mouth tape off. I had my eye mask lay in there. I started watching TV. I mean, it's a great night at my house. But I don't know where I was going with that. I went off the rails. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I'll come up with the topic for next week. I'll figure out this dongle. I'll see what my iPhone's... I finally just got my iPhone hooked up in my car. Like, I literally have been trying to do it. I did it. I tried to do it like 3 times yesterday. I tried to do it 3 times on Tuesday. I couldn't figure it out. And I finally just, when I left the house today to come down to the radio station, I said, I'm just going to give it one more college try. And bing, it connected. So maybe I'll figure this thing out and I'll be able to play music next time. It seems weird that I don't have any music. Oh, the other song I was going to play was by Alanis Morissette. It's called You Oughta Know, which, I don't know, I love the song. But now every time I play Alanis Morissette, I feel like my friend Donna Johnson is like, I don't like her. Because she doesn't like her. But that's okay. Let me read a few lyrics from You Oughta Know. It says, I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me, does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. because the love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you died? Till you died, but you're still alive. And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me. You ought to know. So that's another thing, you know, a gaslighter. He just like, once he no longer is getting fed and you decide to take your power back, he's got to go. He can't stick around. Like, you're not feeding the beast. And many times when they leave a wake of destruction behind them. And you're stuck with the mess and the fallout. But trust me, it's worth it because you got rid of him. And if there's anything that comes out of leaving one of these relationships, it's that you're free. You're free to start over. You're free to make your own way. You're free to set your own boundaries. You're free to reconnect with your intuition. So let's go out there and take care of each other. Let's stay grounded. Let's stay kind. Let's stay real. And every chance you get to level up, whether that's your life, your choices, your wellness, if you have a chance to raise that bar, I want you to do it. And I want you to know that I am supporting you. I am cheering for you. I want you to win. The gaslighters be damned. Narcissists, go away. We can take back our power. You're listening to KOWS LP 92.5 FM in Occidental, California, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com. I'm Dani Stockham, your host for Level Up with Dani, and I'll be back next week with a new episode, maybe some music. Who knows? Every week's a crapshoot with me. I'm so sorry I didn't get to read about our underwriters. I love our underwriters. We'd be lost without our underwriters. I got to figure this out because I got to get it back in my hot rotation on my phone. Happy Halloween to those who celebrate. Be careful. Watch for the little pumpkins running around in the streets. Thank goodness it's on Friday, so our parents have Saturday and Sunday to recover. We're also going to fall back with our clocks, so we get an extra hour. You can start to make love to your husband at midnight. Turn your clock back 1 hour and pretend like you made love for an hour, even though it was only the 3 minutes that you allotted yourself. What do we think of that idea? I heard that once. It's funny. Okay. This is Level Up with Dani. I'll see you later. Take care of yourself.